don't do coffee in the... Should I be mad? Should I just quit? Should I just act like I don't give a damn about you and your friends, your Hollywood plans? I guess it all really depends on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You only love me on those days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What's wrong? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
And welcome
to a little 7-7 in the morning. A little bit of a technical difficulty there. Leave those speakers on in the front and it gets a little loud. A little wiry. I didn't like that. But thank you so much for joining us this morning. And, as always, Sam Anthony alongside me is Samuel Elizabeth Ference.
Hello.
And Billy Bob Camilleri.
Haven't heard that one in a while.
I know.
Billy Bob.
We got to bring it back. I always got to bring Billy Bob back.
I am the Billy Bob Camel.
But guys, there's a lot to talk about today. Because, we have, all the RMU sports that we've talked about, that we've loved so much through the year. And maybe playing in their final weekend. We don't know.
Hopefully not.
But there's also March Madness.
March Madness.
You have, all sorts of things going on. The Philadelphia 76ers, the season's in full swing here, getting mm-hmm. towards the playoffs here. You have hockey getting towards the playoffs right now. You know what? This is a very exciting time of year for sports, I would say.
It is.
But what do we want to talk about first?
I kind of want to talk about... I don't know. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on the NFL free agency and what happened on day one.
Ooh, that's a good move.
The Steelers, they released Mike Mitchell, William Gay, and Rob Golden. I understand they're all pretty old, and when they need to rebuild, that those guys have a salary hit that, it makes sense. But, players like Tyrann Mathieu was released by the Cardinals. Can you shed some light onto why that? Joe Thomas retired.
Joe Thomas did retire. Great guy, man. It's a shame they're finally making moves to be a winner, and he retires.
The year he leaves. Yeah.
Tyrann Mathieu. The Cardinals are also, in that rebuild right now because they still don't really have a. I know Sam Brad. They just paid Sam Brad for $20 million.
The Cardinals.
Yeah. I know, dude. Everything's happening, but they needed availability in terms of long term too, and sure. He just wasn't willing to even budge on his contract, so they had to make the move just to get rid of him, which again, if you're a team that still needs a lot of pieces, mm-hmm. DB may not be the place you want to start. So in terms of, especially with everything going on in free agency, getting rid of him opens up that space, and it's not just a move for now, but it's a move for the future. So, again, next offseason, you can make some moves. Hopefully there's a plan there. That's what I'm assuming. I don't know the free agency numbers exactly. But, yeah,
Were there any moves that, I guess, who were the winners and who were the losers?
Minnesota Vikings were definitely a winner getting Kirk Cousins. That's just a good move. To me... Kirk Cousins won. He went there. It wasn't the most money he could get, but it was the place where you're going to be a playoff team because, mm-hmm. You have the Packers right here that are trying to, get a grasp of what the heck they're doing because really it's Aaron Rodgers and who else? Jimmy Graham now,
which I...
And no more Jordy Nelson. Bye-bye, Jordy. White Lightning is no more.
Jordy Nelson, did you hear Jordy Nelson's main target is the Patriots? Can you imagine if Jordy Nelson pairs up with Tom Brady?
Well, Tom Brady's getting old, yeah.
And the fact that they lost four guys yesterday.
Tom Brady's...
Including Nate Solder, their best lineman.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's been getting old for 5 years now.
Yeah, but just wait, all right, because he's in his 40s now. Yeah. So statistically, this is the year that every top quarterback falls off. It happened to Peyton Manning. It happened to Joe Montana. It will happen to Tom Brady.
Well, what about Drew Brees? He's, 41 and just signed a new...
Well, Drew Brees is the GOAT, so...
Yeah, he's the silent GOAT. I'm happy, I'm glad he re-signed with the Saints. I feel like it would have been weird to see him play for anybody else except for the Saints, especially what he's done for that city after Hurricane Katrina and everything before they won that Super Bowl. And he's like even more so than a quarterback is to a city that mm-hmm. brought a championship. Like, I feel like he's just on another level to them. Like, it doesn't even compare.
And for the record, Drew Brees is 39, so he still has another 30, year okay. before he collapses.
I knew he was getting up there.
Yeah, I think the 2-year contract's perfect. I know he wants to play till he's 45, but I think he's going to go 2 years and go, okay, like, my body can't do
everything
this anymore.
Hurts.
Yeah. Now, you're talking about Nate Solder leaving to he went to the Giants. Is that like is that a good place for the Giants to start? Because
I always believe that offensive linemen is a really great place to start. It's a lot of money to invest in an O lineman, mm-hmm. but it's long term,
especially a tackle.
Yeah. I don't know. Nate Solder's not that old. He's probably 26, 27.
Okay.
But he got drafted a couple years back. But he's a great lineman. Mm-hmm. And for a team that's won, you know, it allows you to have a line that, you know, you can have confidence in, your quarterback can have confidence in, which is good because, again, the Giants are going to be getting a young quarterback, and having Nate Solder there on the line is going to really help.
Yeah.
But not only that, but, you know, again, with a run game, I always think that if you're building a team, I think that it's a really great place to start is offensive line. So I like the move, and I think – at the same time, it's a great move because it really hurts the New England Patriots because, again, if there's anything you really can't afford with Tom Brady's age, it's not having a good line in front of him.
You know what I also thought? We're sticking on the offensive line, kind of flying under the radar. Chris Hubbard last year.
That's right.
He was a very good utility lineman, and the Browns signing him to, what was it, a five-year deal. I think he's another young guy that could really help the Browns, and like you said, offensive line's where it starts.
So, you know, right now, here's a good debate. You know, Mr. Trade to get Le'Veon Bell and trade the first overall pick. So now you got to look at this offense here. It's Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. It's Jarvis Landry and mm-hmm. Josh Gordon at the wide receiver positions. And then you have Carlos Hyde at running back.
Oh, boy.
So here's the debate, because I've heard two ways. I've heard that, you know, now the Browns are going to be looking elsewhere with those draft picks, and I've also heard that they're going to get Saquon Barkley and have this sort of, you know, dual running back threat here, two really strong, powerful guys, same kind of, I guess, type of running back. What do you think is a better move?
Honestly, I think they should draft Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Because Carlos Hyde, I mean, we've seen him be great, and we've seen him be not great.
And he's had injury problems.
Yeah, he's not a consistent running back.
He's only played for the 49ers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he goes off, he goes off, but
And Saquon Barkley looks like he's, you know, kind of like a once in a lifetime sort of athlete.
He could be the running back of the future. You know, the Carson Wentz's. This could be the.
Let's not go that far.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Calm down. Carson Wentz did not win you a Super Bowl.
That's true. He did get us he won the division for us.
Yeah, that's fair. But he also
with a torn ACL.
He also was like pretty good last year, but not like great last year.
He was.
So.
Yes,
let's settle down and act like Carson Wentz is on some sort of pedestal.
He is on some sort of pedestal.
All right, back to this. I agree with you. I think they should get Saquon Barkley. I think that you're right. He's the running back of the future. I think Carlos Hyde is inconsistent. I think that
Carlos Hyde's a good placeholder. I mean,
Carlos Hyde's a great placeholder because Carlos Hyde, he's going to win you games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's something that the Cleveland Browns didn't have anybody that could win them games last year.
Yeah.
I think that it leaves a lot of space for that. I like the move to get Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod Taylor is a good move. And I think it leaves the space to go get someone else with that fourth pick. Either that or trade it. Because there's going to be teams that want a quarterback that are going to be willing to give up a lot for the chance of getting Sam Darnold. I mean, it seems like that market's getting smaller and smaller. But I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Arizona made a move for that fourth pick because they only signed Bradford to that 1-year deal.
Yeah.
And
because it's Sam Bradford, and let's
exactly.
be honest.
The Browns have the 1 and the 4, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He could do a lot of damage with that. I mean, either place you can have. I mean, you're going to get a great draft pick at the one or the four, but then, you know, you just trade away the other one for some, you know, that could, wow, they really do have a lot of wiggle room there.
Yeah.
But it's also the Browns, so, I mean, I feel like while they do have all this potential, they could also waste all of it on a stupid move.
Yeah,
because, like, how many times have they had an incredible pick and traded it away for nothing and then ended up being the losers of that trade?
You're right. I think historically the Browns probably won't do anything phenomenal, but, you know, they'll
win more than a game.
Yeah, they might. I think
they'll stay a little bit more competitive this year.
Adding Tyrod Taylor is going to add a competitive edge. I mean,
Jarvis Landry.
Hubbard was a good under the table move.
Yeah,
that offense is going to be productive, and it's going to get them those extra points that they weren't getting last year when they were losing those close games.
And then
do think the Browns are at least a 6-win team.
Yeah, you have the defense that's going to come back. You know, Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett's going to be good.
He's going to be good.
Julius, I don't know if he's going to be great, but he'll be
Julius
good.
Julius Peppers is going to flourish a little bit more.
Jabril Peppers.
Or, yeah, whatever. I was looking at Julius Peppers.
Because he just re-signed with the Panthers. Mm. Yeah.
But, I mean, you have a young defense that's going to come out strong, I think. And
did the Steelers sign anybody big, or did they just release
people? No, they've been cutting people to get rid of their – because they were over the salary cap.
Okay. Yeah, when they franchise tagged Bell.
How would you guys say the Eagles did? Because I mean, they're my team. They're also the defending Super Bowl champions now, so they kind of have a spotlight on them.
Let's see. So Celek and Burton are both gone.
Celek and Burton are gone.
To the Bears, right?
Yeah, four years, $32 million, which is great for him because he was like undrafted and had a minimum contract.
And those are the guys you lose when you win a Super Bowl, the guys that, you know, want to get paid more elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's unfortunate, but it's part of the business. And
you still have Ertz.
Well, yes, exactly. You still have Zach Ertz, who is arguably number one, number two tight end in the league last year.
Mm-hmm.
You lose Patrick Robinson to the Saints, and Vinny Curry gets released, and Torrey Smith gets traded. Torrey Smith gets traded to the Carolina Panthers for a cornerback that I can't remember the name of. And then they traded a low-end receiver in picks for Michael Bennett from the Seahawks.
I liked that move. I was a big fan of that.
And
they re-signed Nigel Bradham.
Daryl Worley.
Yes, they did. I was thinking of Chase Worley. He played for the Phillies for a little bit, but I knew that wasn't him because it's the wrong sport. There's also a chance that Haloti Ngata signs.
Haloti Ngata.
I saw that, and I like that play too. He could stay. There's rumors that he could stay with the Lions now, but, like, I mean, if he comes to the Eagles, that defensive line is scary.
Well, what about Ndamukong Suh? Was he?
I wouldn't.
Who was he?
I know there was rumors of New England, but I don't think that'll ever happen.
I don't want him. I wouldn't want him to come to the Eagles. He's been too much of a negative player that his upside to me is negated by just like the stupid plays he's made.
Well, I think I really like that Michael Bennett acquisition.
I mean, I think the Seahawks are just kind of falling apart a little bit because it seems like they're trading the farm for, you know, a grain of rice.
Yeah.
So how about this, though? Did you also see that LeGarrette Blount is now meeting with the Lions?
That doesn't surprise me.
He's never been a guy to stay around very long.
No, and he didn't. I mean, he had a good postseason, but a majority of his, from what I was seeing in the regular season, like he'd have an explosive run every once in a while, but most of the time he would come in on first down and get 2 or 3 yards, and then that was it.
And then with Sproles coming back, right?
Yeah, but Sproles is also a free agent.
Oh,
I don't know why.
And Kenyon Bonner.
But they signed him to a 1-year deal midseason, didn't they? Yeah.
Why is Detroit still shopping around? Because didn't they just sign Jonathan Stewart?
I mean, yeah, but like, you know, Blunt's always going to be that tandem pair guy.
He's won two Super Bowls in a row.
Jonathan Stewart's like the same build as LeGarrette Blount. I mean, why would you want two LeGarrette Blounts?
Why not? If you can afford it, why not?
It's definitely an interesting concept, but
yeah, I feel there was a lot of shakeups. Yeah, this year.
Yeah, this free agency. Patriots lost a lot of people.
Patriots lost four people in like the span of an hour, I feel like. And the big rumor was that it was all because of Belichick and the administration.
Yeah, and everyone inviting and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Danny Amendola to the Dolphins.
I saw a meme that said the only person who will miss Danny Amendola more than Tom Brady is Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
It was a big free agent. Did free agency start yesterday, like, officially?
Yeah, officially yesterday at 4.
Yeah, that's why everything kind of happened real fast, because mm-hmm. everything's been in place.
It's yeah. Just... Everything was allowed to happen yesterday at 4.
I got that out of my system.
Mm.
I like that. That was good.
A big thing happening in RMU sports this weekend is men's hockey, who we talked a little bit about on Tuesday.
We talked a lot about
it. We did talk a lot about it on Tuesday. I didn't know Bonje broke his leg.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
He broke his leg in the last game against Holy Cross.
That's good. I'm glad I reported on that.
There's a video of it. And, like, I haven't watched it just because I hate broken leg videos, because you can normally see that, like,
yep.
a portion of your, broken like, legs. Body that's supposed to go in a line is not going in a line anymore. And, But, yeah, so somebody just released a big article about it, about, like, the captain leaving it all on the ice. Finish the job, Colonials captain leaves it all on the ice. That's what it is.
Was it a bad break, or?
I mean, at this point, it doesn't matter. He's done. Like, this is senior year. This is the playoffs, so. It begins. Let's see. He got hit. He got hit low by a Holy Cross player and fractured a bone in his leg, so it wasn't like he snapped his femur or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it wasn't.
What's kind of bad is like it was 2 minutes left in game two.
Yeah,
like you know that was just a cheap shot.
Yeah, yeah. And it was from the Holy Cross captain.
That's good.
Well, I mean, what are you gonna do? You can't. There's nothing you can do about it now. Yeah. Like it happened, you're gonna have to deal with it. It's just more adversity for this team to overcome because I feel like, I mean, I know all three of us have doubted them a lot. I'm sure everyone else has doubted them a lot just because of the season that they had.
You're right.
And I really hope that they go into this weekend and they just come out with a fire to prove that, you know, they deserve to be where they are. And really, they don't deserve that number 7 attached to their name. It should be a higher number.
It's going to be – this Mercyhurst game is going to be everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be everything. I mean, to me, the two most likely scenarios are they lose first game and don't come back, or they win the championship. I think those are the two most likely scenarios.
Mm.
So – we'll see, because Mercyhurst always gives them a hard time in the playoffs. Mercyhurst and RIT. So mm-hmm.
And RIT, for the first time in what feels like forever, is not in it.
Well, they weren't there last year either.
Yes, I thought they were. No? Oh.
I know.
Wow.
Just feels like it because they're in Rochester.
Yeah.
But it's all right. Yeah.
Yes, they were. Who'd they play? Because they played us at one point.
No.
Oh, no, we lost to Army or something. Or no, we lost to Air Force, but it was before their game. And I remember because RIT fans came out specifically to cheer against RMU.
Yeah, because they don't like RMU.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they I think they were there last year. I could be wrong about that. I could be thinking about freshman year, but I think that's what happened last year.
Hey, man. I don't know.
I hate RIT. I can openly admit it.
Hey, you want to hear something fun?
Hmm.
Want to know what I named my college basketball bracket?
Oh, do I?
It's called Kobe Thomas Can't Shoot. Last year, my bracket's name was Isaiah Still Sucks. So we've expanded since Isaiah still left.
Yes.
His team's in the NCAA tournament.
Iona, really?
Yeah, they're 15.
He's not eligible.
No, he's not eligible.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because they wouldn't be if he was.
Ooh.
Oh, come at him. Why don't you? Well, hey, first day of the tournaments today.
I know.
Yeah. Got a lot of big games today.
So I just want to hear, guys, like, big upsets. Do you guys have any upsets picked?
Oh, I have plenty. Are we talking about, like, double-digit seed winnings?
Yes. That's okay. Exactly what I'm talking about.
Let me pull up my bracket.
Because I had a few. I have Loyola Chicago over Miami. That's today at 3. I got Texas over Nevada, but that's not really an upset. I had 2 down in the West here. That might be the other side.
I have 2 brackets, and in one of them I have Davidson upsetting Kentucky.
I could see that, though. I mean, Davidson's hot right now. But I actually have Buffalo beating Arizona. That's one I have.
That I was thinking about that.
I have Texas beating Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, that's Shaka Smart for Texas, and you know he coached VCU when they had that run. So.
Oh, I think the boldest call I had was South Dakota State over Ohio State.
I could see that. I could see that. I think Ohio State isn't as good as their seed. Mm. I mean, they've lost some bad games to Penn State.
Who didn't make the tournament, by
which, by the way, you know who my favorite, my one upset I'm going to call? The second round upset. All right.
Boy.
University of Rhode Island is going to upset Duke in the second round.
I was seriously contemplating.
Rody, baby.
In that region, the Midwest, I have both New Mexico State beating Clemson.
Yes, I have that too.
And Charleston beating Auburn. I don't think Auburn's seeded low.
I don't know. I think they're the best team in the SEC.
Think so?
Yeah, I mean they got upset in the SEC tournament, but I think they're the best team in the SEC, and I think the SEC is pretty good this year.
Not
as good as the ACC by any means.
Let me ask you: are there any 16 seeds that have any chance?
Yeah. Have you seen the discussion about Penn?
Penn
is the best 16 seed in the history of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
there's no team that has been as good. Not only that, but typically a 16 seed has somewhere between like a 1% and 3% chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
According to the statistics, 538 gives them a 7.2% chance to win, almost twice as much as another team.
Hey, they
Penn has a better chance to win than some 14 seeds.
Yes. I mean, it's the Ivy League, so it's not like, oh, it's a scary basketball conference or something. But Harvard's been a 12 seed before.
Yes.
Like, they play these teams that have NCAA caliber.
They've been 10-2 in their last 12 games.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean... And granted, they lost to Villanova by 28, but they...
That's also Villanova.
Yeah. And again, it's still a 7.2% chance, but it's incredible. It's actually probably one of the best chances we've seen.
Well, that game's at 2 today.
Yep. That would literally slaughter everyone's bracket.
The earliest game today, I think, is Rhode Island, Oklahoma at 12.
It is. Here, PBG paints, people.
Yeah, okay, so...
I really wanted to go.
How much of that... How much of... is PBG Paints hosting?
Duke Iona, UR Oklahoma, Michigan State Bucknell, TCU Syracuse. No, I'm sorry, that's Detroit. That's also. So we got, I know, URI Oklahoma, Duke Iona.
Do we host any second round games?
Yes.
Okay, do we host
that? We host the URI Duke game, or whoever wins. Sorry, that's what I have in mind.
So we don't host that Sweet 16 matchup?
No.
Okay.
What
that goes to Omaha, Nebraska.
So okay. Who are your guys' final fours, and then who do you have winning?
My final fours. All right.
Mm-hmm.
My final four is Kentucky and North Carolina and Wichita State and Duke, and I have Duke and North Carolina winning for a Duke UNC national championship game where UNC will win 78-68.
Mr. Ferentz.
So I just want to start off by saying last year...
Oh, boy. There's going to be some garbage in here, isn't there?
Yep.
No,
I can smell it already.
Last year, I was in a very highly contested bracket, and I chose UNC to win, and I won the bracket challenge. It was very, very difficult for me not to pick this year. My bracket name is Defending Champions. My final four, I have Cincinnati and UNC, and... Villanova and Duke.
We're going to play some inspirational songs for Sam. Let's see.
I like it.
Inspirational songs.
The only one out of those four I don't like is Villanova. They could lose anywhere on that road, especially to Purdue. But, like, Virginia Tech could easily beat them. West Virginia, I don't think as much. But, I mean, Villanova is my shaky top four, but I have UNC Duke with Duke winning 73-67.
So I have two brackets I filled out. My first Final Four is Virginia, Michigan, Villanova, and TCU.
TCU. Jamie Dixon over there from Pitt.
Honestly, it was just kind of like, I was like, I like TCU. Let's go, Horny Toads.
I have them winning the first game, but it's Michigan State.
I have Michigan and Villanova winning, and then Villanova winning overall. I have to go with the home team. So I have Villanova winning in both my brackets. Just
Villanova
because.
Has the highest chance to win, so yeah, it's a good bet.
Yeah, but I don't know how much faith I have in them. I just honestly went with them because they're literally 20 minutes from my house. Then my other bracket, I still have Villanova winning. But my final four is, maybe my final four is the same. I thought it was different, but I guess not.
Which one seed do you think has the best chance of winning? If a one seed were to win.
Villanova.
You have Virginia, Villanova. Yeah,
I would say Virginia until they lost, whatever the heck his name is escaping me, but they're sixth man, essentially. That's a lot. Because of the fact that, you know, again, you get to those later rounds, you need that depth. Mm-hmm. And that depth, I mean, that was their team, you know. They're a defensive team that plays that style. So missing a player like that affects you. So that's my thought.
How is this inspirational music?
I don't know. It's from Man of Steel.
Oh.
It said sent here for a reason. So, like, I figured that'd be inspirational. All right. We're going to try something else. We're going to try Army Strong. All right. This is just a Spotify playlist called Inspirational Music / Epic Scores.
Ooh.
I know. This is from the U.S. Army Field Band. We love our Army here in Will Sam and Sam in the Morning. God bless the USA.
We love all our armed forces.
Of course. That's true. Of course. Yeah, so.
Are there, let's be realistic here. Are there any, let's say, 7 seed or lower that has a chance of making a run?
Stephen F. Austin. Stephen F. Austin.
I love this song.
It's Stephen the Army
F. Austin,
song.
Really?
Only you can stop wildfires.
Oh, gosh. That's not even close.
That's why I said it.
Why do you say Stephen F. Austin?
Because they forced the most turnovers in the nation by, like, a wide margin. Like, it's not even, like, a little bit. Their defense is phenomenal. And if there's anyone that can throw a team for a loop, play physical, play tight. Stephen F. Austin. And, you know, Texas Tech's going to be their toughest one. But they go through. They're either going to get Florida or St. Bonaventure. And honestly, that could be another one I could see having an upset there. And I think Florida wins. That's my pick. But then I have Stephen F. Austin beating Florida to the Sweet 16, where they ultimately lose to Purdue. I think that... I think that their defense is going to throw, especially teams like Texas Tech and Florida. Florida hasn't had a great year.
That whole side, the East region, doesn't have many strong teams.
Mm-mm.
I think it could be, I mean, if like...
I think Butler could do something,
especially
too.
Especially if Villanova and Purdue bow out early, then it's really anyone's game. Because, you know, you look at West Virginia, who are... Number two, at one point in the year, they're not that good.
No, they've really struggled down the stretch. I thought they were going to be a lot better than they are. They said Murray State is, you know, that could be the 12 that beats the 5. So.
And I wouldn't be surprised, but.
There's always upsets. There's always a few, like, two 10s that beat the 7s or 12s that beat the 5s.
I got a root for West Virginia hometown boy, Sagaba Kanate. I went to high school. Right next door. So,
what was the name?
Sagaba Kanate.
Who is that?
He's their starting center.
Oh, okay. That's a name. That's quite the name.
It's a person. Yes.
I didn't know what he was saying.
Really, you've never heard? He's like their second best player on the team.
I don't follow college basketball that much. Ask me
except
about
for March.
RMU.
Yeah.
Like I can tell you all about Robert Morris's team. But really that limits my knowledge. Bro.
Let's talk about RMU's team then, since we're done. Who returns next year?
Well,
Who's graduating?
That's a great question. Well, the only one graduating
is Ronnie.
Is Ronnie. Mm-hmm. And they already have a replacement for him. Atem Bior committed back in December.
Who?
He's a 6'7 small forward. Atem Bior. A-T-E-M space.
Okay.
B-I-O-R. Atem Bior.
That's quite the name.
He hails like from the New Mexico Military Institute as a JUCO transfer. And he's from Brisbane, Australia.
Really? Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. You
so,
know.
Do we have a center?
Do we ever really have a center besides this year with Ronnie? And the question is, do Deshaun or Kobe... you know what? The most intriguing thing to me is what's going to happen to Leandre, because there was all that conflict towards the end of the year. And again, we're only privy to so much, but I really wouldn't be surprised if he at some point soon asks for a release.
Can you do that?
Yeah, well, that's how you transfer. You ask for a release from the program, and then you transfer, and you look for schools to find.
Because you're bound by scholarship.
Yeah, so the season's over, so like I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the Post-Gazette in the coming weeks posts an article about where Leandre Washington's going. I'm glad I still have this epic music going.
I just want something exciting to happen. Like, it's our senior year next year. I feel like we've been disappointed. I mean, I don't know.
Army football is going to be exciting. Why? What are you even talking about?
I've been hearing really great things coming out of spring ball, by the way. I know you guys can't comment on it.
The one practice we've had.
But I've just heard, like, the intensity's really ramped up. Yeah.
I got hit in the face with a football. We can talk about that. I'll show you after the show.
It's pretty grimy.
We were running around a lot out there.
Yeah. You were running around.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was only Noah and I for the longest time.
I mean, it wasn't. It was 20 minutes.
Are we arguing about this right now? All right, well.
For the record, I had class until 3:30. Everyone.
Good move.
This guy, Atem Bior, is that what you said his name was? All right, so he's averaging 9 minutes a game.
9 minutes a game?
Yeah, I'm looking at his stats right here.
Because I read his stats that he was averaging 13 points per game and 9 rebounds per game.
Mm-hmm. He 30 games, 29 games started, 283 minutes. This is overall, 9.4 minutes per game. His conference minutes are up to 12.3. But
he gets 13 points and 9 rebounds in 12 minutes?
I guess so.
Wow. I don't know what to believe anymore.
And then, honestly,
Neka Ziva's averaging, what, 12 minutes
But she
a
gets
game?
Like, no, she gets like 22 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes here and doesn't put up half that.
I mean, that's usually the way it goes.
And I don't understand it. I don't get why that happens. Because it happened with the Philadelphia Flyers for a long time, where players would come in and play poorly, then they'd leave and go and play excellent somewhere else.
I mean, I'm not saying anyone's playing excellent anywhere else besides maybe, like, Elijah Mini.
Yeah, but, I mean...
What's he doing now?
Plays for Eastern Michigan. He's been really good there. Hit a buzzer beater one time.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
I'm really excited for Josh Williams to come out.
That's going to be cool. That's going to be cool.
I heard he's better than anyone on the court.
He is, yeah.
So
him and John together will be cool. Hey, tune in tonight on Colonial Sports Center. We have John Williams coming in on the show. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah.
Big move. Did you get the text from David?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I am working on it. I told him. I'll talk to my people. But, yeah, I mean...
I mean, I hope that you always hope that, you know, your school does well. But like I hope, like Will said, you know, it's our last year.
They have. I feel like we've been disappointed every single year coming in because like there was so much hype.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I had zero expectations this year.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I agree. But like, I feel like every year especially a freshman year, we came in. They were just off of losing to Duke in the NCAA tournament. Like we were set to be the team to beat. And then I feel like we've just kind of been disappointed every single year.
We deserve it.
Yeah, as people who have no effect on the game at all.
Hey, the band, I think the band has a bigger effect than anyone will ever admit to. Partly because we're half the fans.
Yeah, but
I'm not saying this.
I think you have more of an effect in the rec center because it's smaller.
Yes. Well, I mean, I could hear it on ESPNU and when the women's team was playing St. Francis. Like you could you could clearly hear the band cheering.
And that atmosphere was phenomenal, by the way.
Yeah, like, I mean, you said you didn't have any expectations coming into this year, but you have to admit, by the time the men's team was, you know, 5-0 in conference, you're like, okay, like, this team's real. Like, it's,
yeah.
They've had an
clearly, if they're winning these games, they should be able to, you know, make a strong run in conference play, which they didn't.
Which they didn't. So I feel like even, like, and honestly, I was the same way. Like, why would I get hyped for a team that's kind of been a disappointment ever since we've been here? But then, you know, they draw you in with that, and I feel like
they just tear you down.
Break your heart. So I really just want them. I would love to have another 5-0 start to conference, but here's a grand idea. Don't go and lose the next five games.
So take that file with you, Robert Morris Basketball, as we end our show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And, you know, again, if you keep losing, Will cry.
I won't cry. I'll be very disappointed. I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed.
He's just a disappointed father. Just like his father's disappointed in him.
That's not true. Hey. I'm the number one kid. Hey.
Tuesday, we're going to have a big show.
Why is that, Sam?
Because we got hockey playing this weekend. Hockey. Yeah. Women's basketball playing this basketball. Weekend. And, you know, you're going to have the first, two rounds?
Yeah.
First two rounds of the NCAA tournament done.
Madness.
They don't.
The madness that is March.
They call it March for a reason, folks.
Beware the Ides of March.
Mad. All right. Well, thanks so much for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sam Anthony signing off, and I just want to say before I go, Mrs. Ferentz, I love you.
This is Sam Ferentz signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom. I see you guys.
This is Will Camilleri signing off. Go Colonials. Go Eagles. Go Flyers. Go Phillies. Jake Arrieta's a Philly. They said he wouldn't come. He's here. LeBron to Philly confirmed.
Red Sox are still going to win the World Series, and so are the Celtics.
LeBron to the Steelers.